Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill, only on LA Talk Radio.
Well, happy Monday, everybody, and thank you so much for tuning in to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill. Today, I'm excited to have join us on the show today, Katie. And Katie is a co-founder and certified coach at Ama La Vida, an innovative coaching company that empowers people to achieve both fulfillment and success. Katie began her career in investment banking and tried a range of different roles until finally realizing that society's definition of success did not necessarily equate to happiness. She now specializes in helping people to develop their own definition for success and empowering them to rigorously pursue it. Katie was trained by the Neuro Leadership Institute and uses a brain-based coaching approach deeply rooted in neuroscience and positive psychology. She is passionate about ensuring that her clients not only develop new insights, but are also equipped with the tools and strategies to implement those insights for meaningful and long-lasting change. Katie's process is structured, rigorous, measurable, and heavily focused on results. When she is not coaching her own clients, Katie is building the business and training new coaches who join Ama La Vida's quickly growing platform. So, Katie, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me, Jennifer.
Yeah, and it's just for everybody's reference, we have Katie Bennett with us on the show today. So, Katie, please tell our guests a little bit about how you became a coach and how you became interested in neuro leadership and positive psychology.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Jennifer. That was a great introduction. it was definitely, it's a little bit of a long story, but I'll try and keep it somewhat brief for today. So as you mentioned, I started my career in investment banking. So after finishing high school, you know, I ticked all the right boxes, got good grades, got into college, did my degree with a double major in finance and economics. You might be able to tell from my crazy accent that I grew up down under in Australia. So I'm not from this part of the world, but moved to America about 4 years ago. So I went to school, did all the right things, got my degree. And I really was just thinking, you know, how can I get a good job and make a lot of money and get a great job title? And so I did all that and I ticked all the boxes and I, you know, was very young in a very respectable career, wearing a suit and making a great paycheck, but I just felt pretty miserable. I was kind of hanging out for Fridays and dreading Mondays. And I just kind of thought there's got to be more to life than this. You know, if this is what success feels like, you know, I don't want to sign up for this. You know, this can't be what success feels like. And so I really did some deep exploration. I took a step back and thought, you know, how did I get here? Is this really what I want for my career? And absolutely that, you know, investment banking is a wonderful career for the right person. You know, my husband actually still works in finance. He absolutely loves it and thrives in that industry. It just really wasn't for me. And I took a step back and I really reflected on, you know, what am I passionate about? What are my core values? You know, what are my skills and my strengths? And what I realized was that I just wasn't doing what brings me purpose and what brings me joy. But at that point, I didn't quite know what that looked like.
Right.
So which I think a lot of people can probably relate to. It's like, I know I'm not happy, but I don't quite yet know what it is that is going to make me happy in a career. And so I really just took some time to reflect on that. I resigned from my job and I took some time to travel and really do some self-exploration, look into some more training and education. I watched a lot of TED Talks.
Nice.
Just to really learn. And it was when I was actually in Brazil and I was sitting by the pool in Brazil and I was reading a book by a guy named David Rock. And the book was called Your Brain at Work. And I was so engaged and so intrigued by the book is really about how we can use new research, new brain-based research, new research in neuroscience to improve our relationships, our performance personally and professionally, and really leverage these new discoveries. And I've always been fascinated by human behavior and by the brain. I've always loved working with people and helping people. And this just really connected with me. And so I did a little bit more research into this guy, David Rock, and I discovered that he had developed a brain-based coaching program. And at that point, I was like, whoa, what's coaching? You know, I hadn't really heard of this field before. And the more research I did and the more I looked into it, the more I just felt so connected. I was just like, you know what, this is what I need to do. Like, this just really, really spoke to me. And so I signed up for the training program. And within the first 2 days, I just knew, you know, that was it. Like, as cliche as it might sound, that was my calling. That is where I wanted to devote my career. And I guess the rest was history after that.
Wow. And I haven't seen too much. I've worked with a lot of personal coaches myself and been trained to develop by them. But this idea of neuro leadership and positive psychology is a relatively new concept, at least to me. Is it something that is prevalent right now in the greater coaching world, or is it a rather newer idea or concept?
That is a really great question. So it's definitely quite a unique focus. So I'm not sure how familiar you are with the coaching industry and the different training programs. It's definitely still coaching as a profession and as an industry is still relatively new and still quite unregulated. So something that we really stress at Amala Vida, if you are looking for a coach, is to make sure you find a really well-trained certified coach. And the best way to distinguish that is to look for an ICF certified coach. There are definitely other ways to get certified, but that's the most common. And the ICF, which is the International Coaching Federation, is the current regulatory body for the industry. Because nowadays, there are a lot of people out there that, you know, call themselves a coach, but haven't actually had the proper training and experience. So that's definitely something to look out for. In terms of training and experience, there aren't a lot that have the unique focus of neuroscience. So different training programs have different majors or different focus points. So you can do a coaching qualification in executive coaching or in life coaching or in maybe even health and lifestyle coaching or career coaching. So the training program that I did, the one led by the Neuro Leadership Institute, I have not yet seen anything like it in the industry. So it's definitely a unique specialty.
Okay, so tell me a little bit about positive psychology. What is positive psychology? I don't remember learning about that when I got my undergrad, or if I did, I wasn't paying attention.
That's a great question. So positive psychology as a field was founded by a guy named Martin Seligman. And you might know him. He's the author. I think a great book, actually, if you want to learn more about positive psychology, is a book called Flourish. And okay. He really takes you through the different pillars of positive psychology. But he was a very, you know, well-trained, experienced, respected psychologist and has done a lot of very interesting work, which I won't get into today. But what he found was, the traditionally and conventionally in therapy and psychology, it was really about taking people from a negative space back to ground zero. So maybe they've dealt with some kind of trauma or they've had a very negative experience, or maybe they have a mental health issue, whether that's depression or anxiety or OCD. And psychology and therapy has really been about taking them back to a place of, I guess, normal, like a normal place of healthy where most people kind of live on. And what he wanted to explore was, well, how can we go beyond that? What does it look like to actually thrive? You know, maybe ground zero isn't good enough. How can we get beyond that? How can we become our very best version of ourselves? And so he did a lot of research into different strategies and different methods to help people get to a place of ground zero, to a really positive place of thriving. And he has a model called PERMA, which stands for, and I'm going to make sure that I get them all right here, positive emotion, engagement, relationships, meaning, and accomplishment. And they're the five pillars of positive psychology. And he has actually a wonderful website. I think it's called authentichappiness.org. And you can do a whole bunch of different tests and different assessments on that to really see where you rank in those places. There are different activities and things to help increase your positive emotion and fulfillment. And there's a lot of great resources there on the topic of positive psychology.
Yeah, it's a unique field. And so it sounds like that field of psychology, it's a lot related to the emotional side of things and finding balance mentally and emotionally. Would that be fairly accurate?
Absolutely. That's a very big part of it.
Okay. And so how would you apply this? Say that you have an applicant or somebody that wants to work with you and receive your coaching, and this person is not happy or not fulfilled in their current role. Talk me a little bit about through the process of what you or your teammates would do in order to help utilize positive psychology and or neuroleadership techniques in order to facilitate this person's job search.
Yeah, absolutely. Another really great question. So I'd just start with the foundation of actually the coaching session or coaching itself. So even before we dive into the relationship and the session, the neuroscience really comes in setting the space. Setting the space and the engagement for a coaching relationship. So there are five key factors that can create an away state or a toward state in humans. And those factors are status, certainty, autonomy, relatedness, and fairness. And so when any of those are feeling, you know, really kind of confronted or shaky, like if our status is, you know, being rocked, or if we're feeling uncertain about something, that's when we really take a step back. You know, we don't really dive in. But when they're feeling strong, that's when we really open up and we move towards something. So as a coach, I really try to create a space and an environment that really fosters those things. And then also with neuroscience, just even the concept of the unique individuality of every single person. Our brains are so unique and so different in that, you know, what's going to work for you isn't going to be what works for me or for my colleague or for my best friend or my husband. Everyone is so different. And the nature of coaching is really about not telling someone what to do. You know, a mentor or even a counselor or a consultant might give advice. You know, this is what I think you should do. As a coach, I never tell anyone what they should do because I don't know what they should do. I really don't, you know, because what's right for them isn't going to be the same as what's right for me. So my job is to really help them arrive at their own insights and their own solutions. And when they do that, they feel a lot more connected to those solutions and a lot more inspired and empowered to bring them to life. So even before you get into the coaching session, that's where the neuroscience already starts playing in. But to come back to your question, because I know I am getting to that. So when it comes to someone that comes to us, it happens a lot. I work with a lot of people that are feeling very unhappy in their current role. And often, you know, either Katie, you know, I don't really know what to do, or they know that they're looking for a different type of role or career, but don't really know where to get started. So there are a few different ways that we approach that. But the first thing is to really analyze where they're at. So, you know, what are the drivers of what they're feeling right now? Is it the organizational culture? Is it that the culture isn't aligned to their core values? Is it their role? Or maybe they have a really nasty micromanaging boss that is causing a lot of angst for them? Or is it actually the nature of what they're doing for their work? You know, is it kind of like, as I mentioned with my experience, is it just that what they're waking up every morning to do is not aligned to what they're passionate about and what they're skilled at. So really first identifying, you know, is it the organization or the team, or is it more fundamental than that? Is it actually the job that you're doing and the work that you're doing for a living? Because ultimately, if we're not feeling a lot of meaning and purpose and joy through what we're doing, we're really not going to be happy in our work. So that would definitely be step one. And then once we've identified that, obviously, depending on the scenario, we're going to take different approaches. Most people that I work with are looking for different career directions altogether. So they're looking to, you know, shift gears, maybe change within the industry, or maybe change industries completely. And so the process we go through is even before they look or consider what other jobs are out there, what other opportunities or industries out there, we don't even go there for at least 2 to 3 weeks. So we So the program that I go through with them is a 4 to 5 week program. And the first 2 weeks at least is really internal work. So it's really about that self-exploration. Who am I? What am I about? What do I stand for? What do I value? What is my purpose? You know, what am I passionate about? And really helping them come to really deep new insights about those things. Only then can we start thinking about what a meaningful job might look like. So it's kind of like, I feel like a lot of us get the process reversed. We kind of want to, I know we get a bit impatient, we get a bit excited, we want to go and see what's out there. But it's really important to first do that internal work and figure out, who are you? What do you stand for? And then start looking at what career opportunities might be best aligned to those things.
I can see where that would make a big difference. My thought process would be, sometimes when I've come across job seekers who are kind of in a rut or at a crossroads at some point in their career, and I've found in certain cases that people quite honestly just aren't coachable. Is that a prerequisite for you, that if you start working with somebody and you're delving into these very deep questions about what is your passion, what is your purpose, do you ever notice you get resistance from that? And if so, how do you move through it, if at all?
Yeah, wow, that's quite a powerful question, and definitely an important one. And I'm going to circle back to, you know, a few minutes ago, I spoke about creating this safe space. Mm-hmm. So, you know, what typically happens when we're feeling, you know, and I can relate to this, I'm sure most of the listeners can relate to this. You've had a bad day, or you're feeling a little bit down or in a bit of a rut, and you go for a cocktail with a friend or maybe a boyfriend or a spouse, and they're kind of like, okay, well, you should do this. Everyone's very quick to tell you what you should do, right? Yep. Because everyone knows best, don't they?
I know the best. All the advice I've given, Katie, I promise it's the best advice you could get.
I'm sure it is. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with the advice from your spouse or your mother or whoever that is. And everyone always means well, right? The reason why we give our loved ones advice is because we want the best for them. And we know the best, exactly. We're the smartest.
I didn't say that, but you could say that.
Sorry, I'm putting words in your mouth now. but the problem comes back to what I mentioned earlier, is that we all are so different. We're shaped by different experience. We have different fears. We have different preferences. We have different risk tolerances. We have different purposes in life. And so by giving people advice, even though we might mean well, to that person on the other end, the reason they build that resistance, they're not connecting with it. They're starting to feel like you're telling them what they should do, which is maybe making them feel inferior or belittled. And, you know, we can get on the defense. You know, how often do we maybe try and we mean well by giving someone advice, but they start getting, you know, on the defensive, and it happens both ways. So the first step in coaching is to create a really safe space and to really make clear that, you know, there's no, and I always say to my clients, you know, there's no right answer and there's no wrong answer. I'm not here to judge you. I'm not here to tell you what to do. We're really there to just explore, what are you feeling? What are you thinking? What's going on right now? And to take them into a really safe space of just exploration. So it might be really incredible to believe this, but I've actually never felt that resistance because of the space that I create from that very, very beginning of that coaching engagement.
Got it. Yeah, I could see that. I know where I've made my share of mistakes owning a recruiting company. And when I used to coach people on career stuff, you do tend to want to tell people how to do it right. I remember even when I was a kid, my parents would offer that I could coach my sister, quote unquote, on her homework. And I just wound up doing it for her and be like, here you go. Long story short, well, I don't think it did her any help at the time.
Well, that's what's funny, is that the coaching part is actually a lot harder. It's a lot easier to want to just tell them, you know, and I often need to remind myself to hold myself back, because sometimes you're like, oh, I know the answer to that. You kind of have this, like, you want to give them advice, you want to tell them, and then I've got to remind myself, no, that's not coaching. You know, that's not actually going to help them. It might be easier for me, but actually helping, the difficult part is helping them arrive at that place of insight on their own. And sometimes that happens quickly. Sometimes it takes a long time. It never happens when you think it will. But when you do get that aha moment from your client, it's very rewarding.
Yeah, and it's true. And I've noticed some of the best coaches I've encountered, my husband, for example, it's not that he does it professionally, but he's probably one of the best mentors and coaches I've come across because he asks questions. You know, he gets curious. And then when you arrive at it yourself, that aha moment that you talk about, it's so much more powerful than like diet and exercise. Everybody knows that in order to lose weight, diet and exercise. But knowing that or having somebody tell you that doesn't make a difference at all when it comes to losing weight. It's that certain thing you don't know that when you discover for yourself that maybe you're emotional eating or you're holding on to something or it helps you feel better. When you discover that, that's when you figure out how to lose weight or find your ideal job. It's that thing that nobody told you, but you discovered for yourself.
100%. Have you ever considered becoming a coach?
I don't think I would make a good coach. I think I talk too much. I need to be a better listener to be a good coach.
You are absolutely spot on. That is exactly right. And, you know, I did mention earlier, I've so far been fortunate enough to have very engaged clients and not a lot of resistance. But at the same time, and I often say this when I work with people, taking that first step to seek out coaching, that is a huge step in and of itself. So usually the people that do decide to hire a coach and who seek out coaching, they're already open to that experience. So it's typically not the very resistant, closed-minded people that will seek out a coach because they're not even open to exploring that they might be thinking about things from, you know, a closed angle. So typically the type of people that come to us, you know, they want to develop themselves. They're open-minded. They, you know, we try to make it clear because I think that, you know, sometimes when people think about working with a coach, they're like, oh, you know, I don't really have any problems. And getting coached isn't about, you know, resolving problems. It's about what I spoke about earlier, becoming your best self. You know, we work with very driven, go-getter, ambitious people that want to become the very best version of themselves.
So you've given us some good things to understand a little bit more about brain-based coaching and positive psychology. What would you say to any of our listeners out there where they might not have the time, the money, the resources to either hire you or to go become a coach themselves? What would be some questions that they could start to get curious in their own mind about how they could help get themselves out of a rut? Are there any questions that you might tell somebody to ruminate upon?
Yeah, absolutely. That is another great question.
Well, good. My job is going well.
I know. This is why you do what you do. Don't become a coach. You're good at this. So I've got, as you said that, I mean, my brain is flooded with lots of different ideas. So let's just start with one of the key aspects is passions. So sometimes it's awesome, quite simple, but outside of the box questions to get people thinking about, okay, well, you know, I think that we get so carried away and busy by everyday life, emails, meetings, schedule, that we don't often do a lot of self-reflection. So I would encourage listeners that don't have time to hire a coach to schedule an hour in your calendar of you time and pour yourself a nice glass of wine or put on some music and go for a long walk and just reflect on some of these things. Allow yourself some time to think. And some questions, reflection questions that I would think about, which are just very simple, but start, be mindful. So think about the last week that you've had at work, and I'll focus specifically on professional world, but these can be applied to your personal life as well. And think about the time, think about the meetings and the projects and the moments at work when you were feeling really energized, where you wanted to be a part of the conversation. What were the email titles and you just really wanted to open that email and you were eager to respond and excited to get involved? Thus, what were the meetings that you just were dreading and you couldn't wait for the time to be over? What are the emails that you put into the folder that like, okay, I'll get to that one day, but I don't want to deal with that now? What are the conversations that you're looking for an excuse to get out of? These things give us great signs into what our passions are. Maybe And then once you think about all those things, and it might be a good idea to journal, write down all the things that give you energy and enthusiasm at work and all the things that really just you dread and are trying to avoid, and look for the common themes, right? So you might find that with all the things that you love, you're actually doing something creative. So maybe you're doing presentations or putting together a marketing display, or you're using your mind creatively. And then all the stuff that you're really dreading, maybe it's all around analytics or admin. And then think about creative ways that you can bring more of those passions into your work. And, you know, it doesn't need to be these big, bold changes. You know, I had a client the other week, and one of his passions was getting outdoors. He loved outdoors, but he works in a tech company, so he's pretty much behind his desk all day. And the simple change he made was he scheduled two of his meetings each week to be walking meetings. And now that sounds very simple, but it just gives him this opportunity twice a week to bring his passions into his work and get outdoors twice a week. So sometimes it doesn't need to be a big, bold change. Just thinking about little ways that we can bring more of our passions into our work can make a really, really big difference. I can give you 1,000 more, but I don't know how long you want me to keep talking for.
No, I think it's great. I just want to give people access to the opportunity to see things in a new perspective, because our perspective mm-hmm. is decisive. I don't know. Have you ever heard of neurolinguistic programming? So something somebody once taught me, and I think this was true from the mentor who taught me this, said that at any moment we have several billion with a B bits of information bombarding us, sounds, sights, mm-hmm. touch, etc. And that of those billions of bits of information, we're only paying attention to a couple thousand of those bits of information. And what is coloring basically those thousand bits that we're choosing to pay attention to consciously or subconsciously is our perspective. And it's the filter that we put on every day. So I think the more that we can give people access to listening, interacting, viewing the world through a different mm-hmm. filter, like the great example mm-hmm. you just gave, some people might be listening and thinking, Jen or Kitty, that sounds insurmountable to start to figure out my life's passion. But when you give an example of something so simple, like, okay, I love being in nature, and then we all could take one or two meetings a week outside if we needed to, or we made the request to, and then all of a sudden you're one step closer to doing something you love. So I love that. I think it's a wonderful concept.
Yeah, absolutely. And now that I think about it, we actually have, so I spoke earlier about these four pillars: passions, gifts, values, and purpose. And we really see them as being the four pillars to help you bring more fulfillment into your life, whether that be personally or professionally. And we do have a free guide, which listeners are more than welcome to download from our site, which is ALVcoaching.com. And that will give you one reflection question for each of those pillars to really challenge yourself to think about and to make a commitment to bring more of that into your life. And even though that's just one small step, it can actually make a really powerful difference to bring one more of your passion into your life, to think about one of those values that you can better align your life with, to think about one way you can better leverage your strengths, and one commitment you can make to better align your life to your purpose. Just those simple adjustments, you know, it doesn't need to be these big overwhelming changes. Sometimes it's just very simple shifts that can make very powerful changes in our life.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. I think that I know over the years it started off where I didn't know anything about personal development or coaches or any of these wonderful tools that you're making available to our listeners today. And for anybody out there who's listening and thinking, well, gosh, this just sounds like a lot, just start small. Start with one of the questions from the guide, the ALV guide that Kitty was mentioning, or, you know, anything that sparks you to just think differently than you normally would. And I went from feeling like there wasn't enough time in the day to get everything done that I wanted to accomplish, to feeling my time expand and still have at least an hour to 2 hours every day to reflect on how could I live life better? How could I find more joy and happiness, or generate more joy and happiness, not only for myself, but those around me? And the more that you start to play with these concepts, mm-hmm. the more I've noticed that time and space become more available for you, that we just fill it kind of with junk. I don't know about you, but I know there's so many of us out there that binge watch reality TV or different things.
Yeah. Absolutely. I wrote an article actually the other day on 6 tips to help break your addiction to busy. And I feel like everyone, but it's so true because, I mean, how often do you run into a friend or someone in the street and they're like, oh, hi, Jennifer, how are you going? And people don't say well anymore or good. It's, oh, I'm just so busy. Everyone's so busy, right? But and a lot of that is real, but a lot of it is self-created. We create this busy mindset for ourselves and we get addicted to technology and notifications and emails and television and all of these things around us. But we can also, we create this habit of busy, but we can also create different habits like you're speaking about, and much more positive ones. And it's just a matter of practicing the right thought patterns and practicing them day in and day out over and over again and creating time and space and positive well-being for ourselves just by the way that we think about things.
Yeah, I think it's about having healthy boundaries too, because as somebody who has, I don't like to think of it as busy. I like to think of it as a very fulfilled and full life with many wonderful things going on. But I also hold very healthy boundaries with the people around me, whether it's my husband, my colleagues. If I want to get a massage once a week, I will get a massage once a week. If I need an hour to meditate and reflect every morning, the people in my life know that that's important time and it's not to be interrupted. And I think that the more that we can hold healthy boundaries for ourselves, the more that we become happier and more self-sustaining and fulfilled rather than looking to outside circumstances for our happiness or joy or fulfillment, even work.
Absolutely. I think that is so crucial and so important and such an important message for our listeners. And I think one of the first steps to do that is actually defining your values, because values is actually one of my favorite topics, because I feel like, you know, if you met someone on the street and you said, hey, Katie, do you have strong values? Everyone say like, yeah, yeah, of course I have values, you know. But if I actually said, okay, well, what are your top five core values? You know, more often than not, people can't really tell you, or they might kind of rattle off some of the common, like, well, you know, honesty, trust, love, you know, but it's like they're society's values and they're important ones. But what are your values? You know, and, you know, you mentioned about, you know, getting a massage once a week. If one of your values is health and self-care, you don't, I feel like often we feel guilty about these things that, you know, we shouldn't feel guilty about. You know, that is actually something that's very important for me to be productive, to have great relationships. I need to take care of myself. So that might mean booking a massage once a week. It might mean taking time out each day for going for a long walk, whatever it means for you. But I think the first step before setting those boundaries and priorities is first understanding what is important to me, what is going to create a full and healthy life for me. And then actually making sure that your life is aligned to those things. Because one of the biggest sources of tension and inner conflict that I see in my clients is that they're living a life that isn't aligned to their core values. And so we first need to understand what are our values, and we then need to make small changes in our life to better align our personal and professional world to those values.
I think that's a great point. And I think that it's kind of like that old adage that you can't love somebody else until you can first love yourself. I think the same is true at work. Mm-hmm. And when we started this conversation, you said sometimes that you have these coaching clients that you work with and they might be dissatisfied in their job or not find fulfillment. And my personal experience is it could go one of two ways. On the one hand, it could be the wrong career for them. I'm not going to argue that. I've seen many people in your circumstance where they weren't thriving or flourishing because it was just the wrong job for them. On the flip side, I've also seen people that switch industries every 2 to 3 years, that try new things and that are perpetually dissatisfied. And I think that's a core value thing that begins by understanding yourself and finding happiness within yourself internally before you can look externally towards anyone or anything else to find that happiness, because it's never going to, it's like that, you know, carrot, you know, having that carrot dangling in front of you, you're never going to get there if you don't already have the carrot within.
100%. And I think we all probably can even see that in our personal circles. You have that friend that no matter what the situation, you might be, you know, at Disneyland and they're still complaining about something, you know, and then you have the friend that's going through the toughest situation that you could ever imagine. And you don't know how that, you know, how you would ever get through something like that and they're still looking at the bright side and they're still counting their blessings and still looking at what they're grateful for. And these are really mental habits that we build. You know, how do we choose to view the world? Do we want to see the things that are annoying us and the things to complain about, or do we want to see the things that we're grateful for? And just like you said, there are some people that, you know, they might think that they're unhappy in their job, but they could change jobs 200 times and they're still going to be unhappy. And it really comes back to the core of getting to the core of what are those mental obstacles and those mental blocks and shifting the thinking to a more positive space.
Yeah, and that's why the minute I got your press release about positive psychology, I'm lucky we get a lot of releases for the show. And there are certain things that just kind of pique my interest. And the words positive psychology and neuroleadership, you had me at those two combinations of words. So I'm so grateful that we've had the opportunity to have you on the show today and to share all of your wisdom with the listeners. I want to make sure that our listeners know how to find you in case they too want to perhaps join you as a coach or utilize your services or your organization's services. Can you tell our listeners a little bit more about where to find more information on you and your organization?
Yeah, absolutely. And firstly, thank you so much, Jennifer, for having me on the show. It's been such a pleasure to, you know, talk to your listeners and hopefully be able to share a few insights and some reflective questions to help them come to some of their own commitments. So it's been an honor. Thank you.
Oh, of course.
And in terms of finding us, so the best way is definitely through our website. So as you know, our company is called Ama La Vida, which is a bit of a tongue twister. it actually means love your life in Spanish. And the website is ALV Coaching. So A for Apple, L for Love, V for Volcano Coaching.com.
And I don't think I've ever heard V for Volcano. That just took the cake for me.
I felt on the spot there. I was like, oh, what's a word beginning with V? So ALVcoaching.com, that's where you can download the 5-step guide that I mentioned earlier in the show. You can learn a little bit more about us. You can even sign up for a free coaching consult there. So you can work with me or one of our other coaches. We have a great team of coaches with different specialties in different areas, all trained and certified. So you can definitely, if you're just interested, you know, what's this coaching all about? Definitely come on, book a free consult, get a taste for what it is. If you're a coach and you're interested in learning more about joining our coaching team, there's a link there. I think it's called Become an ALV Coach. Very original. So you can learn a lot more about our about our structure and our platform. We're very big on community, on training our coaches. We have a very fun, active, driven team of coaches. So definitely look more into that. We also have on our site some various e-coaching tools, which is a whole nother conversation, but we have developed some coaching technology. So we release every now and then some free e-coaching tools where you can develop in different ways in different areas. So they'll be one of them to check out. And then to stay in touch down the bottom, if you sign up for our newsletter, we release, it's definitely not your average newsletter. We focus on different personal and professional development themes, and we release great resources, challenges, reflection questions about these different growth areas, such as confidence and passion and purpose and fighting fear and all of that good stuff. So plenty of ways to get involved. It's all at alvcoaching.com. So come and check us out.
Awesome. Thank you so much. So again, today we've had Katie Bennett on the show, who is the co-founder and certified coach at Ama La Vida Coaching, an innovative coaching company for empowering people. And next week, we invite you to tune in to Michael Timms. He's an HR specialist with Insperity, who's going to be sharing with us how grads can find their first position. I know it's a hot topic, and as we're getting into another graduation season here in the winter months, it's a perfect time to have you or a loved one, somebody out there who's looking for their first job, tune in and learn some tips and tricks on finding your first job out of college. As always, you can always find any episode on the archive section of the LA Talk Radio website under my page, Get Yourself the Job, or tune in later in the week under iTunes and find the entire episodes on iTunes under Get Yourself the Job on iTunes. Please feel free to comment, rate us, leave us any feedback that you might have. And as always, thank you so much for tuning in and thank you for joining us today, Katie.
Thank you, Jennifer.
All right. Wishing everyone a great week.
You're listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill, only on LA Talk Radio.